pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 6 minutes after the hour. Hour number two now underway. Coming up in about a half hour from Yellowhammer News, Dylan Smith will be with us. And in the 11 o'clock hour, from the House District 2 Republican nominee, Ben Harrison, a friend of the program, loyal listener, will be with us. You want to stick around for that, as always, 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That is how you get in touch with this program. But joining us now on the line, we have a 3rd Congressional District, the congressman there, Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. Before we get into kind of the, what's going on in the day in Washington, D.C., how are you feeling today about the midterms coming up in November?
I'm pretty pumped. It's The landscape, the political landscape, has never been better for a Republican in my lifetime, and I'm 64 years old. Literally, the generic ballot nationwide is really good for us. So I have absolute confidence we're going to take the House and Senate. It's just a matter of how big the numbers are going to be. But I also want to manage expectations for your listeners that while we fully expect to take the House and Senate, we still got a liberal Democrat in the White House, and they've got a lot of power. So we'll be able to shed a lot of light on some bad situations, like, for example, what's happening at the Southwest border, some of the knuckleheaded things that are doing that are happening with Hunter Biden and other things, and stop stupid stuff like this January 6th show that they're putting on. And, get rid of the magnetometers for members to walk on the House floor and get rid of proxy voting that the Democrats have. We'll be able to do some good stuff, but the fact is, we're still going to have a liberal Democrat in the White House for 2 more years. And if we really want to turn this country around, we're going to have to run him off and get a good conservative in there.
And just to kind of follow up on that, you feel pretty good about Congress if Republicans do get it in November, taking a look at this Hunter Biden saga, because we've been hearing about it on the news and the media. The left media in this country, not interested at all. It's the, Fox, Newsmax, et cetera. But you think Congress, maybe they take a look at it, that'll get it a little more of the attention it deserves?
Yeah, they won't really have a choice, but we're in charge. It's going to be the things that we focus on, and it'll be the news. They've got to actually pay attention to it. But one of the things I've just had to adjust to, and I've been up here 20 years now, when I was in the state legislature, I was minority leader. And the fact is that even in the minority, we could get our views recognized in the state media, local press, and state press were pretty, bipartisan. They just reported the news. In D.C., it's Alabama versus Auburn. The fact is that the media up here is all on the Democrat side. They don't report anything but what the Democrats want reported, and it's just the way it is, and we just have to recognize that. But when we're in the majority, and what we're focusing on are issues like we just talked about, whether it's the border or Hunter Biden or whatever, they got to cover it. So it'll get some exposure, and that's going to be good for our country. For people to be able to see, how bad things are happening and why they're happening. So hopefully we can reverse them. But I'm very optimistic. The thing I worry about, and I think for your listeners to be thinking about an election night, is 235. That's the number I want them to think about. 218 is a majority. And, we've got 212 right now. We have to get, in my view, 230 to 235 so that we can actually govern, because there's a handful of knuckleheads on our side, just like they're on the Democrat side, that you just can't work with. They're just problem children. But if we can get 230, 235 members, then those problem children can't block us from doing good things. And I feel very confident we're going to surpass that 230, 235 number and get to 240, 245. And we'll be able to do some good stuff. And the Senate side, we won't get past the 60-vote margin, but I do think we'll get 52, 53 members. So we at least have control on the Senate side. So, there's some light at the end of the tunnel that gives us some optimism.
Harrisville, let's talk about a whopper of an inflation number, 9.1% out this morning. Highest, or we've hit 1981, I think is what one of the CNBC anchors said when they dropped the number. It looks like an administration that doesn't have any good answers here. What do you think? Where do you go from here?
Well, they don't have any good answers because they're causing the problem. You know, the fact is, this administration's policies is what got us in this situation. When you dump $6 trillion into the economy, you're going to cause inflation. When you start restricting our ability to drill for oil and to refine oil, you're going to cause gas prices to increase. And you know, he pledged to do these things, and he's done them. It's his fault that we've got this. You know, you're a lot younger than me, but I was around during the Jimmy Carter administration, and what we're experiencing now is very, very similar to the 76 to 80 period, where the policies of Jimmy Carter gave us inflation, what they call stagflation at the time, incredible gas prices, and insecurity, volatility in the world, just like we have right now. And it's all because of the policy coming out of the White House, just like it was back in the late 70s. So, Joe Biden owns what's happening. It's unfortunate. But I do want your listeners to understand that while he's caused this and it's going to result in a Republican majority in Congress, it's going to take a while to fix this. You know, when Jimmy Carter left office, the good news was it gave us Ronald Reagan. But it took Ronald Reagan 2 years to get the economy under control. And then we had 10 years of incredible prosperity. But it still took him 2 years. So everybody needs to understand that this inflation that Biden has saddled us with is going to take a while to dig out, and it's going to be painful, no matter who's in the majority.
I mean, it occurs to me, the inflation is a product of a lot of it is, at least, government spending, all the dollars chasing too few goods. And you look at what's out there right now, the Alabama legislature still got to figure out what to do with the second tranche of the ARPA money, that you got to be kind of concerned if some of this money isn't really hit the economy yet, that we could see even more inflation later on down the road.
Jeff, you just touched the sore point with me when you talked about that money the state of Alabama hadn't spent. I'm so aggravated with them, I can't see straight. We gave the states the money to deal with COVID and the problems that came out of COVID. One of the problems we have in Alabama is we're a rural state and we don't have enough broadband for the people who have to work at home, go to school at home, and they're building prisons with that money. It just aggravates me so much that every dime of that money the state's got should be going to putting broadband in throughout the state. And the fact that they're even discussing what to do with it rather than spending on broadband makes me want to just chew nails. I'm just incensed by it. And it's not just Alabama, all the states are doing it. They're using it kind of as a cookie jar to get their wish list fulfilled. But they ought to be spending it on things to help us deal with the next pandemic, assuming we have another one. But in Alabama, the fact is, we don't have enough broadband. I've got a poor rural district, and if they don't spend every penny of that money to get broadband to that poor rural areas, I'm going to be aggravated with them.
Well, and you look to the east there, adjacent to your congressional district in Georgia, they're using it, I guess, for a gas tax holiday. It is kind of interesting to see the different ways these states are using this money that Congress allocated them.
You're just trying to get my blood pressure up is all you're doing right now.
No. Well, I apologize for that, Congressman. let's talk. Well, I would say a happier subject, but not really. NDAA, you are the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Y'all have done y'all's work. It looks like it's heading on to the Senate now. But talk to us a little bit about the NDAA.
it's a really good bill. I'm very excited. You know, the fact is, the only committee in Congress that's still bipartisan is the Armed Services Committee. We passed this bill out of committee on a 57-1 vote. The one vote was a Democrat who hates the Defense Department. He'd vote against any NDA, no matter what it was. Every Republican voted for it. We're very happy with it. It increases defense spending over the president's proposal by $37 billion. It's 4% over inflation, which, you know, I can't complain about. I wanted 5%, but I'll take 4% and consider it a win. We give a pay raise to all of our troops of 4.6%. For enlisted personnel, we put another 2.4% on top of that. We spent $750 million to help commissaries keep prices for groceries down on bases, $500 million to keep rent down and to try to make it so that our service members can deal with this inflation and not be so burdensome for them. We allotted $1 billion in to help Ukraine be successful in their war. And we put a lot of money to deal with the threat from China and the Indo-PACOM command. And that's our big concern. You know, as we look forward, China is the big threat, and we've got to deal with it. But I do want your listeners to understand that it's very, very, very important that Ukraine win this conflict with Russia. And I know a lot of people may wonder why we care. It matters for a host of reasons, but one of the main reasons is that Russia will not stop at the borders of Ukraine. If they were to topple that government, they would move into other countries in the area, all of which are NATO allies, which means we would get triggered. It would trigger Article 5 in the NATO agreement, which means that we would wind up having to send troops over there to fight. We do not want to send American troops to Eastern Europe to fight a war. We want Ukraine to be successful, and that's why we put money in this bill to help them do just that.
Congressman, you've been very generous with your time. I know you got to get to a meeting, but thanks for coming on, and hopefully we can pick up this discussion again soon.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Thank you. That's Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District there. Interesting response about the prisons and the ARPA money. So kind of give you guys a reset before we go to break here. Last year, the Alabama legislature had a special session to deal with the prison problem and money that was the money, they cobbled together a financing package, and it was in part, obviously they were going to go to market and bond a part of it. The legislature had been, the general fund that is, had been running a surplus. So they had some money there that they could put toward it. And what they were going to do with the rest was, well, we got this we're flush here with this ARPA money. And let's use that. Let's put that toward the prisons. And that got, it drew a little bit of pushback, if I recall. Jerry Nadler up in New York made some kind of public comment about it on the day before the special session. What's going on here? Why is Alabama doing this? But everybody else was kind of good with it. There was a little buzz from the delegation may have had some problems with it, but apparently the delegation had a bigger problem with it than we realized, or at least personally. I mean, it was left up to the states to decide what they wanted to do with it. But Congressman Rogers there, not as bullish on the prospects of using that money, or as rosy on the prospects of using that money as a way to finance the prison program. So there is that. All right, guys. We got to get a break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living their lives, waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work, they're always late.